Hello and welcome to Are You Connected? It's episode number 70 and today we're going to be talking about startups and blogging. With me I have Lois Smethurst. How are you, Lois?
I'm good, thanks, Jenny. It's a number 70. It's got a zero on the end.
It is.
It's like a big birthday.
It is, isn't it? So we've made it to 70. Now that 100's still a fair way away.
I suspect it is a fair way away. We might make it by the end of the year.
You never know.
You never know.
But anyway, so the startup, how's your startup been, Lois?
Oh, isn't it busy? Getting started at the beginning of the year, and I think it's you're out of routine, things are new, and there's just so many things to get started and turned over. What about you?
I have the same. And, you know, the January's there and you've got to not come in January so you get some holiday and a break, or you can have burnout by week three. But you sort of think, gee, if I could have had all this done in January,
that's right.
You do. Would it be an easier startup? Yeah. I think you just have to have people not wanting things, everything with bells and whistles going on day one.
Oh, well, I think that's me, though.
Is that you? You want everything going
bells and whistles? I like everything to be up and going. I like it to work.
Right.
We're rushing at the moment to get our blogs up and going.
Yes.
Because we've got Meet the Teacher Night this week. And so we really want to promote our blogs when the parents come in and say, you know, you can keep in contact and see what's happening by looking on our blogs. So we want them all up and going by Tuesday night. And we've just about done it.
Well, that's great.
It's a big job because there's quite a few grades, 20-something grades. So that's quite a few blogs to get going.
It's a huge job, isn't it? And are you the only person who helps with that?
I support the teachers to do it. Most of the grade 5-6 team have taken on their own now, but I help a lot of the others because I really don't want them not to blog because they can't get started. We do a lot of rolling over. We don't start new blogs for teachers in the same grade level. I encourage them to keep their blogs because they've got great work examples on there. Why would you delete that or not show your past students that? And the past students, the current students do look at what the past students have done. One of them, for example, said, oh, are we going to do those tag Zetos that you did last year? How do you get those words inside their head like that? And so I thought, oh, good. See, that's what you want. So what about you? Do you start new ones or do you roll yours over?
Well, this year we're starting all new ones because we had shared blogs between two classes that were meant to be learning communities, which sounded a good idea at the time. But I think when two people are on it, it's nobody's.
Nobody owns it.
Yep, nobody owns it. Mm. The kids don't open it because that was a post from the other class.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That sort of thing happens. It was a good idea to try and get them all working together, but I really think it became, well, who's posting and no one's posting it's not ours.
I think that's the case. And it takes teachers quite a long time to get to value it, I think, to value posting and blogging as it is. So if they see it as a bit of a chore and they're just starting, then they probably – and if they don't have ownership, then I can see it wouldn't work as well.
Yes, yeah, so I've created new blogs for everybody.
One for each class.
And, yes, asked what they wanted to be called and everything. I was lucky the other day I could have my interviews with all teachers at school, so every teacher had an interview with me for half an hour.
Wow.
And during the interview we find out what they'd like to learn about. And we also looked at the blog and did the blog together. So it was a nice little interview for half an hour, a bit of a good thing to be able to do at the start of the term.
And you talk about what they want to learn about in ICT or in general?
Yes, what they'd like to learn about in ICT because I come in and do peer coaching in their classroom and we want a plan of this term what we're going to be focusing on. So when I come in I'll be able to help them but not do it for them and not take their class. But be there as a coach for them.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's a great way, good way to start the year, I think, having those conversations.
It is. It is. And it works out good because I think a couple of years ago I would have just listed and said, this is what we're learning.
Yes.
This is what you need to learn.
Yeah.
You need to learn this, this and this. So we're doing this week, and whereas now it's very different because it's what would you like to learn. And we also did a little bit of a recap on last year. What they did, because I've got it on a Google document.
Yeah.
And we looked at last year's and then typed in underneath this year what we're doing.
Oh, all these things are important, and they'll become more important with the new performance and development plans that we're developing, won't they?
Yes.
But let's not talk about those.
So anyway, and also while I had the teachers with me, we talked about their own personal blogs.
Ah, yes.
And setting up personal blogs for the teachers, because I had a thought the other day, you know, when you have a thought, get an idea.
Yes.
And
an epiphany.
Yes, I was thinking about quad blogging that's going on with all the schools around the world. And I thought, why don't we have quad blogging with the teachers? And we can get some professional conversations going.
I kind of like that idea.
So we've all made blogs. They've all got their blogs going, and I've even done a timetable so everyone knows when it's their turn to blog and what week. I've put them up in quads. And actually we do have one queen because we've got an odd number.
Well, you see, you could have triples too, couldn't you? It doesn't have to be quads. It can be threes or fours or it fives could be, if you have to be. That's and right. The idea is that they'll read each other's professional posts and comment on each other's professional reflections.
Yes, that's what it's all about, reflecting on our teaching and learning. And
but they are open blogs, so other people could read them as well.
Yes, they're open blogs. Yep, they're open to the public.
See, it's a sort of a real learning community, isn't it?
It will. It'll be a great learning community for our school and to get the staff really talking. And I'm hoping because they're using the blogs themselves that they'll find that value that we were talking about.
Well, I think, see, ideally you'd have staff and teachers blogging before the kids were blogging because I don't really think you understand the value of it until you've done it yourself.
Yes, and one of my graduate teachers already had a blog going from last year, which was great, from in uni, and so she's going to continue on that one. So that was really nice.
But then it's I've started blogging with my grade that I have for 2 days a week this year because I've got a grade two this year, and I thought, are they too young or not? And I started them, and but they love it already. They are right into the blogging idea, and I've made them users, and they're logging on by themselves and helping each other to log on, going home, making comments. And then we were looking at them, and in terms of punctuation, we said, well, gee, we really can't publish that without capital letters. But they're right into getting it correct and wanted to know about the capital letters. And a child who was there, and he put his hand up, and I said, yes. And he said, but how do I make it go capitals? And he needed to know about shift keys. He could have asked that any time before, but now he was interested and he needed to know how to make that capital letter work. And I'm thinking, I'm really hoping you'll see a bit of a jump in their, you know, how in writing they often don't bother.
They
put the capitals wherever they feel like it, or they leave them out whenever they want. I'm hoping we'll see a change, and I'm hoping, you know, because they're keen to get their work up there and see have the world read it. And we've been talking to the Tipperary Station School with Jasmine Shannon, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping we'll get some links up with her and cross-posting with her and commenting too. So I think it's exciting, and now I know the kids are excited.
Yeah. So, well, there's one thing you have. There's one ingredient that you have that's going to make this work. It's the most important ingredient of anything you do with ICT. Or with teaching even, with any subject.
Enthusiasm.
And you've got it. Yep. You can pass it on. You can spread your passion with your blogging to the kids and they'll all catch it.
Yeah, I think they've already caught it.
And
it's just a matter of touching base with your blog regularly and not just posting occasionally. It's a matter of getting it up there and using it to teach with too. It's a very powerful tool for teaching with. Because it's relevant writing. It's got an open audience. It's got all those things going for it that sometimes just writing on a piece of paper or in your book doesn't get. And you get this feedback instantly.
Yes.
You know, feedback when the child's there is there.
With the blog I've done for the teachers, our professional conversations, I've actually made my blog with Blogger. I thought I'll try Blogger. I haven't used it for a while. And that links in nicely with all our Google things, Blogger.
Yep.
And I've made a page – a static page just all about the quad blogging that we're doing and put the timetable on and everything for all the teachers to see in case they can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I also put a link on for videos, a page where I put my videos on. And it was great because I learned a new skill.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when you learn something
yes,
new?
yes.
I learned how to share a playlist. So I've made up a playlist out of my so many hundred favourites in YouTube.
Yeah, I did see your video page and I thought, oh my goodness, it'll be full.
I'm just gradually adding a few videos so that if they want to, they can go onto my video page and check out a video or two.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
So that'll save me emailing, and everyone loves watching videos.
Well, you particularly love watching videos, Jenny.
Yeah, NBN's going really well with my YouTube watching. I tell you what, I just watch one after the other now.
Yes, congratulations on having the NBN. Yes. Finally.
It used to be I would be lucky to watch one and it would stop, and you know, and it would download a bit more and then it would stop. Now I'm just watching them and thinking, oh, what'll I watch next?
Oh, you're funny.
Anyway. But anyway, so the quad blogging, it's going to be great. A lot of the teachers chose Global 2. They wanted to do it on Global 2, which was great.
I think we are so fortunate to have Global 2. I can't see how you can go past it. I mean, if you had to pay for that, you wouldn't, because it would be very expensive. And as a campus website, it has all the bells and whistles you could possibly want.
Yep, and of course they're adding it to their EduBlogs app on their iPads, because a lot of them love to post that way.
Actually, that was the biggest difference in blogging in our school, was when we learnt you could blog from the iPads.
Yeah, I think the back end, the dashboard's a bit scary for them.
Well, it's just the immediacy of it. You know, you don't have to open up a computer, and they take a photo on their phone and they just send it up with a few, and they're quick to type the text. They just publish quickly on that. So that made the biggest difference to our junior school in blogging, was the fact that you could do it on your mobile devices.
Mm. Anyway. Yeah, I think it makes it much quicker. So anyway, I'll be able to report on this and see how it goes.
Good.
The first round of bloggers is this week, starting this week, tomorrow, until next Monday. So we'll see if anyone blogs. We've even got all the leadership team involved and our principal as well.
That's good.
So everyone has a turn, so it's going to be great.
I see you've written your first post.
I have written my first post, yes. So, I'm hoping that teachers don't wait for when their week is, because they might have a good thought and you know, I have to let them know you can blog whenever you
like. Blog whenever you want, that's right. That's the idea. It's meant to be. I think once they see it's starting to build up as a collection of their work and a record of what they're learning and doing, that they want to do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was great the other day, because when I was explaining this to everybody, my principal mentioned about the VIT standards and how performance development and everything, this was going to be a big part of it. So everyone sort of sat up and took notice. So that was nice.
So they'll be able to count that.
So, but one thing I have found a little bit tricky though is what level of use to have the teachers on when I'm making these blogs.
Yeah, I found it tricky with my I found it tricky since they've updated EduBlogs and they've got a whole new section on there that called Class and Students, and one of the teachers had added his kids in as students, and I said, oh. And we were trying to work out what the difference was, and we found that you can migrate them from any, you know, you can migrate them from students to editors or students to authors, but I thought, well, what is the point of students? And maybe that's a better way to keep track of your class. So I actually ended up having to read about it and we've put that very good link about the table of different things in there.
Yeah, it's got good pictures and shows everything. So basically, Lois, what would you think would be the difference between students and, say, authors?
I've worked out the difference. Students, if you put your kids in as students, you have one setting for the whole class. You can't make them at different levels. So you can say to them, and it's meant for a class that has a class blog and then a set of student blogs underneath, you know, where every student has their own blogs. Yeah. And you can say, I want students only to be able to post on their own blog. And so when they can see a different, and they can comment on the class blog, but they can't post on it. But the settings, to me, I think the settings lock a whole class into the same setting. And I don't know about you, Jenny, but I have different settings for my kids.
Yeah.
I have I was using editors, but after researching that form, I'm going to make most of them authors, because editors can delete other children's posts. And I've always made them editors, because I think originally editors were the only ones that could upload pictures, but that was a long time ago. So authors are perfect for kids to be able to post and check their own work and then publish their work. If you want, if you don't want them publishing their work, you make them contributors, and then you have to, you're the one that publishes their work. And if you don't want them to do any of those things, you make them subscribers. Because what we do with our students who are already on the blog from last year, like last year's students, we change their roles into subscribers. So all the old students are still on there as users, but they're only subscribers, which means
that's a good idea.
Well, if you delete them, you delete their posts, or you get rid of their work, or you're not seeing who's responsible for their work.
Right, okay. What about when they leave the school or something?
Well, by then it's probably – no, actually, we still got kids who left the school who are subscribers.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, they can comment, or which they could anyway. You know, that's not making anything.
This table doesn't list students on there. It just has your admin, editor, author, contributor and subscriber.
That's right. It's in a different section, I think.
So students are different again, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're in that – they're at the top of that menu under class, and you can add students. But I'm not going to do that, because I have a couple of kids who we call them the blog captains, and we make them the admin. And at the beginning of the year, they'll often come over and I'll supervise them while they add all the students in their class on as users, and they make all the categories so that their students, every student's name is a category. So, and they do the rolling over of the blog basically. So I get them to, so we have a couple of kids who we trust to be admins. So we usually have two teachers and two kids on each blog as an admin. The rest are authors or editors, and then there's the odd child who is not the odd child, but some students who are contributors.
So if you're just putting them in as those things, you wouldn't be going to my class and adding them there, would you?
No, because I don't want to lock them down to one setting.
So then you can have them all at different settings.
I think so. I thought it might be a good way to keep track of a class. I thought, oh, this might help us sort out which is this year's class and which is last year's class, because I'll put them all in as students. But then it said, then this is what students do. Students just, you know, they can just post to their own, or they can. And I thought, no, that's not going to work for me. Might work for someone else. If you had a class full of individual blogs, that might work. Or older students, maybe? I don't know. Anyway. So that's the first thing we do in this, you know, busy week. We get busy and put the past students in as subscribers, put all the new students in that class on as users, and set up the category so that every student's name is a category, because then you can see then you can filter by their work. You know, if you get halfway through the year and you just want to see Jane's work, you click on her category and her work comes to the front, or her mum can, or her dad can. So it filters. So that's your filter. That's fairly important.
So you use categories or tags for your
categories for filters.
Categories for filters, not tags.
No, tags. Tags. I tell kids tags are like the index in the back of a book. Yes. It's something you won't use very often.
So what's categories?
Categories are like the chapters of the book. You use them all the time. You know, they're the big headings.
Big headings. I would have thought if they tagged it their name, that would be more like the index. It's not.
Yeah,
that's a chapter.
No. Yeah, So you use categories a lot, like you'll be repeating them all the time, but your tags you might only use once. Like we've had Chinese New Year, so we might make the tag Chinese New Year. We won't be using that again this year.
Right.
But we'll use Jane, you know, maybe every week.
Yeah.
So your categories are your big headings that you used often. And they might be English or maths or creative writing, whatever you want to filter by.
Yeah.
But your tags are just your little markers, your index.
I wonder why they need both.
Well, you don't want to sort through a great big long list of categories. Yeah, and your categories are listed there. I think it's just your big, it's just a easy way to filter, and it's the main filter on your blog.
Right, okay. I'll have to get my head around that.
Yeah, people do have their trouble. But to me, thinking of them as chapter headings or an index helped me work it out. What else do we do? When we set up our blogs, we do that.
Could you put both on? You can put a category and a tag?
Yeah, absolutely. Most posts have both.
So, because I'm just thinking chapters and indexes, how they're different.
No, most posts have both. But mm-hmm. they have the one that they'll nearly always have is the child's name,
mm-hmm.
and the tag will be something a bit more obscure that they're writing about.
So if anyone wrote about the trip to the zoo,
mm-hmm.
the zoo would be a tag,
yeah,
and they would put their name as a category.
Yep.
And then if you went for the tag, you'd see all the different writings about the zoo.
Yep.
And if you went to the category, their name, you would just see all that person's posts.
That's correct.
So that might get my head around it, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I used to do things like when I did voice threads, I'd have a voice thread category so that if I was teaching about voice thread or talking about voice thread, I could pull up all the voice threads and show all the different examples of how you could use voice thread.
Mm.
So you can use it in that way too.
Yeah.
And the movie types, when we started making those creative commons, those Common Craft little movies.
Yes, yes.
I made a tag for that because I wanted to see all the different ways you could use that in your teaching and show people how they could use it and show teachers how they might use those movies in their classes. So it's a great category to have.
Yeah, so if you've got all the kids as a category name, you'd have a big list of categories, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, and so I do make a parent category now. If you're rolling a blog over, I always put the year and I make that the parent category so that I can filter by that as well. So your 2014, your hierarchy shows up. I don't have it as a list on the front page. I have it as a hierarchy.
Yeah.
There's different ways of showing those categories. Yeah.
What about widgets? What widgets are you considering putting it on?
Well, I've started putting on the recent comments and the recent posts, which I didn't used to do. We always have a map widget. The kids like to see the whirly cloud with the categories and the tags in it, which once it gets pretty full, it's pretty hard to use, but it's just, And I let some of the students choose some of the widgets now for their class posts. They like to put on a class pet. And I say that's okay as long as it doesn't make a noise. What do you put on yours?
Yeah, we have the map of the world, where it is in the world, recent posts.
Search, do you have a search?
We'll have a blog roll.
Yep, blog roll.
A blog roll for the different blogs for the other classes so they can get to those easily.
And do you have another, look, we have two or three different blog rolls. You'll have one for, I have one for the students in the school or in that class, and then I'll have one for international blogs, perhaps.
Yeah,
so different. You have two different. Yeah.
Yep, different blog roles depending on what the class is doing.
Yeah, so that's good. I like the way you can do that. And you don't need that many. It's up to.
No, and you don't want the blog to look too cluttered.
No, but if they do the blogging challenge, they like to put their badges on too and things like that. So.
Oh yeah, some badges.
Now, talk about not too cluttered. That brings me to I just love the new themes that EduBlog have introduced this year. And there's so much nice broad themes, not cluttered, full page, mobile responsive, and the one I've chosen to use a lot, it has a slider in the header, which is so easy to use. So, we've got that little slideshow of pictures in the header because I'm a bit of a picture person. And it just looks lovely. And it's easy for, it'll be easy for teachers to do it themselves now, whereas in the past we've always had a Photoshopped header that had a logo on it. And but this one just looks lovely and it's personalised with the class because it's got photos of the kids on it. And they're terrific, the new themes. And nice and clear and plain, easy to read.
Yep, they're really making them nice and minimalistic.
Yeah, but full screen too, which is great.
Yeah, full screen if you've got big screens.
Well, we used to have them full screen, they're only part of a screen on a laptop, and so then if you put a video in, it didn't actually fit into the box very well.
Yeah.
So these will be terrific like that. So that's just a little plug for that. So, and what else are we doing, Jen? You've got Skype Around the World coming up again.
I have got Skype Around the World coming up on March the 14th. We're slowly but surely getting some more schools signing up, which is great.
And you're talking about student learning this time. How do you learn?
Our students are talking about their learning and how they learn and seeing how students in other places around the world learn different things. Yeah, so we might ask some different things about how they learn and what helps them learn the best.
So you're sort of talking about learning styles?
Well, it might be learning styles. It might be ways of learning. Do they learn by doing? Do they learn by someone talking to them? Do they learn by watching videos?
Like you.
All different ways they can learn. Yeah. Do they learn by memorizing? I wonder.
Mm.
How do they learn their tables?
Yes. Some strategies, that sort of thing. Or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So you probably want some fairly specific questions, wouldn't you, for that one?
Yes. So my students will be making up some questions. We'll get our wiki going that we use as our backbone for the Skype.
Maybe they learn by blogging, Jen.
They could learn by blogging, couldn't they? They can learn by doing a 24-hour Skype.
So that's just a month away.
It is, isn't it? Must be only 4 weeks away now, on March the 14th.
Is that just after the long weekend?
It is after long weekend.
Mm.
Yes. So
maybe you should have had it just before the long weekend so you could recover.
Well, we had people going away for long weekends and things. So
that's
but true. I've still mucked up with some countries and it's a holiday or something and they're not around.
So you can't win with that though.
And I asked on Twitter who was wherever on what date before I went for dates.
There will always be someone going on holiday somewhere.
We need an international huge calendar with every country's school holidays. And then some countries, states have all different holidays, like Australia.
Yes.
So in one state it's okay, in another state it's not. So it's true. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
so very tricky. Well, Lois, I think we're finished for today.
Yes, nice short one for today.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone for listening, and we'll get back to you with episode number 71.
Yes, and we'll put some links on the blog, on our Are You Connected blog, and you'll find them in the show notes as well. So thank you, everyone, and thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks, Lois. Bye for now.
Bye.